Get the best quality paints from Dutch Boy for all your projects at Menards. MaxBond Plus exterior paint and primer in one is designed to stand strong against extreme weather. It provides max adhesion, hide, and performance, and repels rain in just 90 minutes after application. And with Dutch Boy's high-performing paints that last, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards today and get your paint project started.
Save big money at Menards.
Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast.
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome to a special bonus edition of the show, where we ask, will Tesla's Cybertruck ever go global? The stainless steel wedge on wheels became a symbol of Elon Musk's bravado. The man with the Midas touch unveiled his next big thing, and a million fans, they say, duly got in line with deposits. Some reports say 2 million. At the time, Tesla and its showman CEO could do no wrong. They were on a roll. In his own words, if nobody bought the Cybertruck, Tesla would go back to the drawing board and redesign it to be conventional. But could a redesign keep the looks while making it meet the road regs outside of the USA? Well, fast forward to now, North American sales have dried up and regulatory barriers block global expansion in its current form. The Cybertruck faces an existential question. Will it survive beyond its niche, or is this the beginning of the end? Welcome to a bonus edition of the podcast. My name is Martin Lee. When I have something requires a deeper look sometimes, you might find these bonus shows showing up in your feed. Speaking of which, Patreon supporters get the shows 7 days exclusively first, and then we put it into the free feed. So no need to pay for Patreon, $5 or $10 a month. Some people pay more to support my work here. This is how I earn a living these days. Just wait a week and you'll get it with ads, but you know, I know people sometimes skip those. So let's get into the Cybertruck then. I've been thinking about this for a long time over the Christmas holidays as well. I've been reading some news about various people around the world trying to make it compliant, almost people doing their own individual crusades. Well, one of those chaps is Raven Seeholzer. He has a workshop in Basel in Switzerland, and it represents a microcosm of the Cybertruck's global predicament. The founder of Teslab, a used Tesla marketplace, spent the past year disassembling a fleet of 5 Cybertrucks and rebuilding them from scratch, all to comply with European regulations. The trademark sharp edges have been blunted with rubber coverings, electrical wiring has been overhauled, yellow blinker lights for instance, and new front bumpers have been engineered to meet pedestrian safety standards. The vehicle, Seeholzer claims, has been pretty much fully apart. This extraordinary effort, essentially re-engineering Tesla's flagship pickup, illustrates the fundamental misalignment between the Cybertruck's design philosophy and the regulatory realities of selling to the global market. While Seeholzer believes approval in Switzerland is merely a matter of time, in his own words, he also admits that European Union homologation would be a lengthy progress, reveals the deeper truth, also that the Cybertruck was never designed to be sold outside of North America. That strategy could be catastrophic, but with a production line built for 10 times the current rate, it's also suffocating the company. The Cybertruck won't bring down Tesla, but it's a serious drag. Sales data from 2025 now paints a grim picture of where the Cybertruck is. According to Cox Automotive, Tesla sold only 5,385 Cybertrucks in Q3 last year. That's down 63% from the same time a year before. Figures through to the end of September showed about 16,000 of them sold in the US. Again, down about 40% from the first 9 months of 2024. The fourth quarter didn't bring any respite. Industry analysts estimate full year 2025 deliveries will be around 17,000 units because no tax credit in Q4 and very few sales. A staggering shortfall from Elon Musk's promise that Tesla would achieve annual production of 250,000 units sometime in 2025. Just checking my calendar. The company has now missed the target by roughly 230,000 vehicles, a spectacular failure in terms of the automotive industry and what CEOs have promised over the years, even by his own standards. Let's talk about demand then. The sales collapse has been swift and it's been really unforgiving as well. Monthly delivery figures tell a story of accelerating decline rather than a kind of gentle landing. In the first quarter of 2025, Tesla sold only 6,500 Cybertrucks, half the previous quarter's volume. By Q2, down to 5,000. Q3, like I say, falling and falling. The market's verdict has been delivered through depreciation as anything else. Tesla began accepting Cybertruck trade-ins in the summer of 2025, an admission that the secondary market had collapsed. One owner who purchased a Foundation Series model for over $100,000 got a trade-in from Tesla at $65,400 after driving only 6,000 miles or 10,000 kilometers, 35% in less than a year off his new vehicle. Independent platforms, these aren't Tesla trade-ins, show even steeper declines. Some Cybertrucks are now listing at about half the original purchase price. Auction prices in around $60,000 now, with analyst Doug DeMuro predicting that values will be, on a recent podcast that I heard him on, you'll be able to pick up a $35,000 Cybertruck in the next year or so. Such depreciation reflects oversupply and lack of demand. Tesla's response has been to throttle production. Obviously, the company paused Cybertruck production at Giga Texas in May. Again in July, workers reported that targets for Cybertruck lines were all slashed. Some lines were just running at a fraction of their capacity, and production teams were moved on to other projects. The factory, which Tesla had equipped to make 250,000 Cybertrucks. So think about that. Everything that they need, the space, the production equipment to make 250,000 a year, is not even at 10% utilization, representing not only a waste of assets, but stranded capital on an epic scale. The opportunity cost is also failed investment. Where could they have spent the money elsewhere? Let's talk about the competition. Well, it's not been stellar, to be honest with you. The Cybertruck's collapse was accelerated perhaps by its competitors. The Ford F-150 Lightning, once dismissed as just an electric version of the petrol truck, was actually a really good vehicle. It became the undisputed leader of America's electric pickup segment. In Q3, they sold over 10,000 Lightnings, a 40% increase on the same time the previous year. Of course, expiration of the tax credit, because the Lightning's success stemmed from its fundamental conservatism. It looked like an F-150. It functioned like an F-150. All right, towing is an issue with electric vehicles. No one said it wouldn't be, despite a series of YouTubers buying one, realizing that you can't tow a massive load up a mountain for hours on end, and making negative comment, all going towards the death of the F-150. I talk about it in its past tense because, yeah, Ford ended that program. Well, first they paused it, and then they killed it off. General Motors did capitalize on the Cybertruck stumble with the Chevrolet Silverado, doubling its quarterly sales to 3,940 in the third quarter of last year, up 98% year on year. The GMC Sierra EV was up 772%, but from a very low base. Even the Hummer EV lineup, a premium offering with limited volume ambitions, outsells the Cybertruck now. Wow. This dynamic reflects a broader truth about strategy. Ram's CEO noted at the time that brand loyalty within the truck segment can be up to 80%. Truck buyers, even those open to electrification, gravitate towards the nameplates they've bought before. The Cybertruck's wedge-like pyramid silhouette, high-sided bed, which complicates loading, represented a fundamental misunderstanding if they were going to sell to a truck buyer. As Stephanie Brinley of S&P Global Mobility observed, and I quote, "Pickup trucks have been a natural stronghold for American automakers, with buyers exhibiting a high degree of conservatism," end quote. The Cybertruck's radical departure then had to find a buyer that wasn't a typical truck buyer. But that's okay, because they had the Musk factor. The Cybertruck's collapse cannot be understood separately from the broader erosion in the Tesla brand, driven primarily by Elon Musk's polarizing activities. Research published by Yale University economists in October 2025 started to try and quantify what many had felt and experienced anecdotally. And of course, if you were the victim, if you're a Tesla driver and someone was either writing things on the dirt of your car, I've seen that online, people were writing awful phrases, some were even spray painting, which is just, out and out illegal and criminal damage. But Musk's activities online has inflicted measurable damage. So somebody's put some numbers on this. This study found that Tesla's US sales would have been up to 83% higher between October 2022, with all the Twitter purchase and when he became overtly political, and the end of 2025, translating to 1 million to 1.26 million extra vehicles sold if he'd just kept his head down in terms of politics. By the first quarter of 2025, the effect had intensified so much because of a new White House administration that Tesla's monthly sales would have been 125% higher at the time. The mechanism is straightforward. Musk's support for one party, which is fine, anybody can support any politics, but you tend to find big CEOs are not, and it's changed a little bit lately, and that's all fine, because anyone can say whatever they want, of course, and freedom of speech, but his out-and-out support for one side with $300 million in contribution to Republican candidates and his role in the so-called Department of Government Efficiency, the department that was never a department, alienated the core demographic of Tesla, but tend to be politically a little bit more liberal consumers. That's fine, but presumably you'd hope to pick up a whole new audience. Maybe he felt like he'd exhausted the old audience and that he could attract a new kind of buyer. Analysis at county level revealed a previously upward trend in Tesla's sales amongst Democratic-leaning counties, which reversed overnight, almost, from around October 2022. That was when his acquisition of Twitter, now X, happened, and he became much more overtly political online. He'd always been a bit of a spiky personality, but never really harmed sales. This partisan effect had been particularly devastating just as the Cybertruck arrived. Let's bring it back to what we're talking about today, which faced skepticism already from the truck buyers. The vehicle became a lightning rod for anti-Musk sentiment. Social media documentation at the time showed Cybertruck spray painted with things like Nazi cars, again, utterly unacceptable, while protests targeted Tesla showrooms and set fire to whole fleets of Cybertrucks. It made it really hard for Tesla owners who didn't have those personal beliefs to avoid association, a problem that owners of more conventional Teslas probably mitigated. Some of them had those bumper stickers. I still see them around. I bought this before Elon went crazy kind of thing. The competitive implications were severe, though, for the Cybertruck. The Yale study found that sales of competing vehicles increased in the US up to 22% over this same time period, translating to 1 million additional units sold by Tesla's rivals. This represents a direct transfer of market share from Tesla to its competitors, driven not by product deficiencies, nothing wrong with the Tesla vehicles, of course, but by what Yale called brand contamination. Ouch, it's a vivid phrase, isn't it? For the Cybertruck, though, which could never get a foothold in the market, it suffered much more than the other cars. So let's talk a little bit about recalls. Actually, no, let's take a break and I'll have a slurp of coffee and I'll come back in a mo. Stick around. Welcome back to our bonus show. We like to do these. Well, I like to do, I say we. It's just me, the royal we. Whenever I have something on my mind, sometimes it's a little bit more editorialized, it's opinion stuff, in which case feel free to disagree or just stop the podcast. And sometimes it's things that I want to take a deep dive into that the normal podcast audience might only come in for to hear each day's news story in 90 seconds or 2 minutes. And I like to sometimes have a little chat with you about some bigger topics, like this one, the Cybertruck. So, its reputation was certainly undermined by a series of recalls that made it one of the most recalled vehicles in, well, I mean, certainly in Tesla's history and in US automotive as well the last couple of years. In less than 2 years, the Cybertruck was recalled 10 times. The recalls have ranged from the Sirius, all cars get recalled, to absurd. The most recent recall was October 2025. 6,197 Cybertrucks had incorrectly installed light bars that would detach. That's not good. This followed a recall in March 2025, affecting all of them. 46,000 vehicles because the exterior rails, the cant rail, it's a panel, they were detaching whilst driving. The car was literally shedding itself down the highway. The problem stemmed from an adhesive that was prone to embrittlement, causing the stainless steel panels to fly off at motorway speeds. Earlier recalls addressed a faulty drive inverter, which would cause loss of power, rear view camera that wouldn't work, and the wiper motor failures, the accelerator pedals that could get stuck under the interior trim. Perhaps most embarrassingly, the Cybertruck was recalled in 2024 because the font size, I know, there's rules on this, you'll be pleased to hear, the font size on the screen was too small for the standards. This recall was minor. And in fact, many recalls can be done over the air, not when the cars are shedding themselves down the road, but many recalls can be done over the air. But it needs to be an official recall so you know to do the update, because I get updates sent to my phone or my computer. I'm like, dismiss, I'll do it later. If it's a car, it's good to have an official recall, get the documentation done, know that it should be happening. But that's embarrassing. And it, again, I'm probably, this is more editorial here, just kind of my opinion, and feel free to disagree. I find it really embarrassing because it epitomises the failures, the rushed development process that has plagued this entire vehicle programme. Perhaps not the bloody nose of recent days where I've told you about the news where Tesla launched the Cybertruck only to forget to trademark, sorry, the Cybercab, forgetting to trademark Cybercab, leaving another company weeks later to realise it hadn't been done. And now it's too late, and Tesla will probably have to sign a very big cheque to that company. But this cumulative effect of recalls establishes people to think, well, Cybertruck's an unreliable product in the minds of potential buyers. But also, I find it frustrating, because Tesla know how to do this. And it's just a botch, and I think it's embarrassing. And it shouldn't be happening. Okay, let's talk about selling the Cybertruck overseas. Can Europe come to the rescue, we'll buy loads of them, and the Cybertruck will be a success? Well, no, because there's regulatory barriers that prevent Cybertruck from ever entering the European market. Not incidental challenges, by the way. To come back to where we started the podcast, European regulations prohibit vehicles with sharp edges that harm pedestrians. This is a direct response to safety standards. Decades of research showing that how you design a vehicle will significantly affect pedestrian injury severity in collisions. They will happen, unfortunately, inevitably. So how can we make sure that we're not killing people with vehicles? Well, we have rules over here on how you have to design a car. And the Cybertruck's razor-sharp stainless steel edges, which caused cuts to its own owners, flagrantly violate these standards. It's not like Tesla didn't know what they were doing. They only ever designed a Cybertruck for America, and yet still took deposit money from Europeans. Admittedly, European rules also require speed limiters on vehicles over 3.5 tonnes. Tesla knew that. A category in which Cybertruck fits, Germany's denial of the US military personnel. So they asked if they could bring a Cybertruck into Germany. And Germany, obviously part of the European Union and the EU's biggest car market, explicitly cited how much it deviates from EU regulations to allow that vehicle in. So although the work is being done in Switzerland to try and get it approved there, having it in the European Union is a whole different thing. A Cybertruck seized by the UK police in 2025 was not deemed road legal. YouTuber Yanni Charalambos imported a Cybertruck with intentions to modify it, but faced such intense backlash, demanding seizure from the authorities, that he said he would leave the country. A modified Cybertruck registered in Czech sparked a letter from safety advocates and campaigners demanding Cybertruck be made compliant with our rules. James Nix of Transport and Environment, a European think tank, said, and I quote, "When anyone examines the facts and the rules, it's clear that Cybertruck is illegal in Europe." Even Switzerland, which is not an EU member, has potentially more flexible regulations, presents a challenge. Mr. Seeholzer's effort to achieve compliance illustrates just what has to be done. Over a year of re-engineering the vehicle, new bumper designs, edge coverings, more government testing. The weight limit of 3.5 tons means that Cybertrucks will have no payload capacity. He then calls them a lifestyle vehicle, not a working vehicle. Narrower roads common throughout Europe. Further constrain a 3.5-ton truck's practicality, while its 2.6-second 0-60 time led experts to compare it to a guided missile on wheels. The political dimension adds another layer of complexity. A new framework agreement between the US and EU included commitments to standardize vehicle regulations, creating maybe a pathway for Cybertruck's approval. Yet, in October last year, a coalition of European cities, nonprofits, and safety campaigners signed a letter to the regulators in Europe urging them not to weaken the European standards to comply with US demands. All right, well, we haven't talked about the world's biggest car market, and that'll be China. China represents a different but equally challenging barrier. I've talked about this on the main podcast a few times. While Tesla has registered Cybertruck, it's taken one over. The China Ministry of Industry and Information Technology has a registration with it. Market entry is distant. It's uncertain. The registration filing listed a range of 384 miles and a vehicle weighing 3,700 kilograms. So Tesla Shanghai was registered as the potential manufacturer, not the US, sparking speculation that it could be made at Giga Shanghai. But the market fundamentals in China don't favour the Cybertruck. Pickup trucks are classified as a commercial vehicle in China. That's a distinction that limits their appeal and market access. Numerous cities, authorities, including Beijing, put restrictions on commercial vehicles entering urban centres. The segment represents a niche, actually, in the Chinese market, where consumers much prefer SUVs or sedans, vehicles or vans, if you're a working vehicle. And Tesla's broader struggle in China this year does compound the problem a little bit, I imagine. The company's China sales have declined over 2025, facing competition from BYD and XPeng and Xiaomi and more. Tesla's attempted to position emerging markets as a place where they'll sell the Cybertruck. In November, 100 of them turned up in South Korea. Wes Morrill, Tesla's head of Cybertruck engineering, said at the time this was, and I quote, an apocalypse of Cybertrucks reaching the country. Well, it was 100 Cybertrucks. Tesla began accepting South Korean orders in August. Deliveries were scheduled to begin by the end of last year. I couldn't find out if they have started now. There's also Qatar, Saudi, UAE. They're all very, very limited opportunities. The pricing in South Korea is much higher because of US import costs, tariffs, and the market that it's in as well. The fundamental problem is building a palace when they needed a tent. Tesla have built this huge capacity for Cybertrucks when it needed to be maybe a niche halo vehicle. There's a lot about the Cybertruck, which is very good in terms of the way it's engineered, 48-volt architecture, and a lot more as well, steer-by-wire. I think all of that gets overshadowed by the negativity. So what's the path not taken? Elon Musk acknowledged the global challenge in 2020, saying that Tesla would build a smaller version of the Cybertruck for markets like Europe and China and soften the looks as well. But 5 years later, there's no evidence that's ever going to happen. The company instead doubled down on the radical design. Tesla's refusal to design a Cybertruck for other markets reflects a rigidity in the CEO. The company has historically won by leveraging global platforms for economies of scale, producing essentially one car, the Model 3 and the Model Y, same platform, and variants across three continents. This strategy has worked brilliantly for mass market sedans and crossovers, but it's catastrophic for a pickup truck that only sells in one country. There's also inventory as well. The physical manifestation of the Cybertruck's failure is visible in lots across the United States. By mid-2025, Tesla was renting empty lots to store excess Cybertrucks. That's a reversal for a company that always worked on negative working capital. Tesla would always collect customer deposits before the vehicle was built. There were long lines. A lot of that was kind of post-lockdown stuff and supply chain, but still, there was always a waiting list to get a Tesla. The inventory accumulation forced Tesla into incentives. They had a $70,000 rear-wheel drive version, but no one bought it, so it was discontinued. There was a luxe package of FSD, lifetime supercharging, premium connectivity, and something else, I think premium service as well, for $15,000, but no one bought it. 0% financing helps the federal tax credit going. Definitely didn't help. Used car dealers have avoided the Cybertruck like the plague. I had a look before I recorded today, and this average time on lot for Cybertruck is 150 days now with US car dealers. No dealer's going to buy one because it's just money sitting on their lot that no one's going to come and buy. All right, let's finish off the podcast today. Talk about manufacturing. Gigafactory Texas is one of the largest manufacturing investments in American history for the automotive sector. 2,500 acres, 10 million square feet of factory floor, huge cost, makes the Model Y and the Cybertruck. Tesla promised to employ 60,000 workers. Instead, they just fired 2,700 employees, 12% of the factory's workforce. The Cybertruck production lines at Texas are running quiet now, operating at way less than 10% of designed capacity, stranded capital that could have been repurposed elsewhere. The production shutdowns in 2025, that's normal for the automotive industry. It allows for maintenance and improvements for lines, but workers reporting that these were not planned shutdowns. They were offered paid time off or training to come into work and not make vehicles. These pauses break production. That is essential to manufacturing efficiency and reducing costs through scale. Scheduled maintenance is typical in the industry, but these are often known quarters and years in advance when you're working with just-in-time production. So what comes next? I'll finish with three different scenarios. Back in a mo. All right, welcome back to the podcast. So what comes next then? Can the Cybertruck be saved? All right, I've thought of three scenarios. Can you think of any more? I'd love to know. You can always email me if you want to. hello@evnewsdaily.com. If you have suggestions about the podcast, thoughts, comments, or you can go to the Patreon page and sign up for a free Patreon account. You absolutely haven't got to pay for this podcast. You never will have to pay for this show. You're very welcome to help me make it, by the way, and become a patron. And that would be amazing. But I know everyone's tight for money and things like that. And so you can sign up for a free account and leave a comment on the show. Scenario one, the most likely outcome is that Tesla continues the Cybertruck at a reduced volume for the next 2 years, and then it quietly disappears, probably because of an external reason being blamed. There's no egg on face. They'll find a reason why they have to stop. Production would be maintained at around 20,000 units a year to serve the remaining niche market. This volume would allow Tesla to claim Cybertruck is in production, but minimizes embarrassment. Eventually, Tesla would announce that production has ended to make way for something. Like, oh, we need the space to build robots or the next vehicle. Avoiding outright failure. Existing Cybertrucks would become curiosities. Their values would probably stabilize 20 to 30% of original MSRP, becoming collector's items. This scenario allows Tesla to preserve their brand. Scenario two, Tesla could announce a comprehensive Cybertruck redesign that addresses regulations elsewhere. A Cybertruck International variant would have body panels compliant with modern safety standards outside of the US. It would be lighter, it would be more efficient, and more conventional proportions. This would represent an admission that the original design was a failure, but salvages the nameplate Cybertruck and could become a commercial success. Development would require 2 to 3 years, a few billion investment. No guarantee of success, of course. The likelihood of Tesla pursuing this path seems remote to me, given Mr. Musk's resistance to admitting mistakes. Scenario three, some sort of zombie limbo. Tesla carries on making Cybertrucks indefinitely, maybe 10,000 a year, treating it like a halo product, bringing new technologies, not to the Model S or X first, but to Cybertruck first, bringing attention for innovation to the model. This approach would be similar to niche sports cars or ultra-luxe vehicles that exist for marketing more than profit. The Cybertruck would be positioned as Tesla's flagship for innovation and distinctiveness, not as a sales driver. This scenario allows Tesla to avoid negative press of discontinuing it while accepting the vehicle's not a commercial success, but becomes the home of all their best ideas. Production would continue in any diminished state for years and fade from public consciousness. There'll be things like Optimus, humanoid robots and other ventures to take up all of the publicity. So what would be the implications? Well, actually, what are the implications even now? Like, the Cybertruck's failure represents, I think, Tesla's first big misreading of the market. It's a company that had previously demonstrated extraordinary and exceptional intuition. Tesla's success with S, 3, and Y stemmed from correctly identifying a segment. Luxury electric sedans, then SUVs or crossovers. Affordable long-range EVs, executing brilliantly despite skepticism and a lot of people saying it would never work. And they proved them all wrong. Cybertruck represents the opposite. A product that nobody wanted, nobody asked for, designed in a way that precludes global sales, and then refusing to adapt when it hasn't worked. The financial toll is substantial. But Tesla, by the way, has huge financial reserves, and it can weather the storm of Cybertruck beyond the costs of the production capacity being wasted, inventory write-downs, things like that. The Cybertruck just took up loads of engineering resource and management attention. Imagine if that had been spent on any other vehicle, while Tesla concentrated on indulging, design, BYD in China over the last 5 years, quietly got on with relentlessly improving battery efficiency. We haven't even talked about Tesla's failed 4680s since battery day. So much optimism around that. That's also been a big failure, but maybe that's a different bonus show. But China's been driving down costs relentlessly, painfully, and China's been expanding globally. European manufacturers have finally got their act together, launching compelling EVs. BMW iX3, 500 plus miles on WLTP. New Volvo EX60 coming, 505 miles WLTP. And then other Mercedes vehicles, the CLA, almost 500 miles WLTP. Bit less on US EPA. Tesla's market share eroding everywhere, particularly severely outside of the US. The Cybertruck debacle highlights the risks of the cult of personality. On one hand, it's driven the company forward. It still supports the stock price, and many people only have a single worldview around that, and that's absolutely fine for them. Supporting a CEO who insists on radical design, overruling so many people in the company, so the stories go, demonstrates the dangers of unchecked executive authority. The lack of any market research is fine if you have your finger on the pulse. But this was a swing and a miss. Tesla's historical strength was challenging the orthodoxy in a way that eventually made everyone go, oh no, they're right. But not this time. The evidence says Cybertruck will never go global. It will never be meaningfully redesigned. It will never be a commercial success. Is it another Pontiac Aztec or Chrysler PT Cruiser or Honda Element or anything else? These cars that were discontinued and became just curiosities. The difference is that Tesla invested way more than in those cars in a failure. The arithmetic is brutal. Tesla built for selling 250,000 of these every single year over year over year, and there's no demand. The vehicle is effectively banned from over here, and it's impractical in China. North America sales are now in freefall. Depreciation's catastrophic, and the vehicle has become a symbol of erratic leadership. No amount of marketing can overcome that. The heartbreak for me, I'll end on a personal note and feel free to disagree. The heartbreak for me is that Tesla had done what nobody did before, making EVs desirable to the mainstream. This wasn't a milk float. This was the Model S, Model X, Model 3, Model Y. So good. The Cybertruck was the opposite, and the market delivered its verdict. The question now is not whether Cybertruck will go global or extinct, but how long Tesla delays the inevitable. Look, nobody likes amputating a limb. I get it. But if it stops the contagion spreading to the rest of your body and leading to eventual death, well, the answer's painfully obvious, but apparently not to Tesla. Is there anyone in Mr. Musk's orbit these days who has the position, the strength, the confidence, his ear to speak truth to power? history suggests, he'll need to come to that realization all on his own. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you on the next bonus show.